But the title of the message today is Don't Be an Attention-Seeking Hypocrite. Is that too vague for anybody? Maybe we can ramp it up a little bit and be more specific. But don't be an attention-seeking hypocrite. Why don't you go ahead and turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't be an attention-seeking hypocrite. Listen, we live in a world that is absolutely fueled by drama all the time. And social media has really helped to escalate that. I like what Pastor Mike Miele says. He says, you really ought to stay away from them twin sisters. Which twin sisters? Drama and trauma. You ought to really just stay away from them. But people are constantly embracing drama and trauma. But this is based on the fact that Jesus said this. He one of the things he commanded was to give, to fast, and to pray, but to do it secretly. So let me just start with an illustration here. There was a father who complained about the amount of time that his family spent in front of the television set. I mean, he was really harping on them about that. So y'all spend way too much time in front of the television. His children watched cartoons all the time, and they neglected their schoolwork. His wife preferred soap operas to doing housework. And so he stood up, and he's going to take a stand this day, and he piously announced to his family that they needed to get their priorities right, and that as soon as football season was over, he was going to unplug that television. So I want to look at Jesus' message to the attention-seeking hypocrites of his day. Let's see how it applies to us possibly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So at first, this scripture may seem to contradict something else that Jesus had said earlier in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So in one scripture, he's saying, hey, these things that you do, these acts of righteousness, don't do it to be seen by men. And then he says, make sure that you let your light shine and do good works to be seen by men. So it almost seems like he's contradicting himself. And so what we see are some similarities, and both speak of doing good works and doing them before others. But Jesus' earlier remark makes this a command, while in this text that we're talking about today, it seems like he said not to do it. So again, is Jesus contradicting himself? The answer is not at all. Somebody say, not at all. Listen, here's the deal. Jesus knows that our carnal nature is always going to try to promote self. In the wisdom of the world thinking, it's all about self-promotion. It's all about me wanting you to know that I'm the greatest, me wanting you to know that I'm the best. And even a lot of the music is just filled with nothing but braggadocious, accolades for self. And so in his previous statement, he commands good works to be done so that God will be glorified. So listen, it's always going to want self to take credit and be acknowledged. Now, how many of you have ever been in a situation where you did something good, and be honest with me, nobody knew about it, but you really wanted somebody to know about it? Come on, raise your hands. The rest of y'all lying through your teeth right here in church. You did something, and even worse, maybe you did something on the job, and it was good, and some other joker got the credit. Come on. And you were just rejoicing because somebody got the credit for your work. And the one who got the credit for your work, he was rejoicing too. Right? I'm telling you, it happens. We want to get the credit for the good stuff we do. Now, when it comes to the bad stuff, all the way from Adam and Eve, we've learned how to blame other people for that. Right? Remember, Adam blamed Eve. Eve looked around, there was no other humans to blame. She blamed the snake, right? And we've been blaming people ever since for the bad stuff. So, again, Jesus is saying that everything we do is supposed to give God glory, not ourselves. Yet it is within our nature to have self-glorification. And Jesus is warning against religious action that's done publicly, really for self-glorification. And in his previous statement, again, he commands good works to be done so that God will be glorified. So he's not telling us in the first scripture that we shouldn't do good works. He's really talking about the motive, right? So it's all about the motives. Tell somebody, motives matter. It is to call attention to God and his kingdom, not to call attention to ourselves. Now listen, again, I'm going to be real practical with this, but there are places you can go all over the country that have learned to entertain, churches who have learned to entertain. And I'm telling you, when you walk into that place, you'd think you had just walked into a rock concert or a pop concert, because there's lots of attention being drawn to the stars on the stage, right? And we've taught and trained our praise and worship team that if you're going to be up here, it better be about the worship. It's not about you putting on a show, right? And so I thank God that he's, you know, raising up some young people especially who are learning that and who are going to walk in that. But listen, let me give you another example. Had a lady one time, she painted and she would paint and it was wonderful. She would worship the Lord with her painting and it was really neat. How many of you have ever seen somebody do that? But she asked me one day, she said, Pastor Dwayne, would it be okay if during the praise and worship time, I come and set my painting up here and paint up here? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Why do you want to come do that up here? Is this worship to you? Oh yeah, I'm just worshiping the Lord. I said, well, then we don't want anything or anybody to draw attention away from what we're doing. So I said, I would love if you painted every service during praise and worship, but do it in the back of the room if you don't mind, because I don't want anything to distract people from their praise and worship to the Lord. And I've often said, if you've been around here for a while, you know I've said it many times, God didn't call us to show up at church to be spectators. He called us to show up and be participators, right? So we all should participate in worship however we're going to worship, but it shouldn't be to try to get people to look at what we're doing and how we worship. God knows the difference, okay? And again, it's a personal conviction for me. You know, you're going to have places that have people running around with flags and all kinds of stuff. I find that distracting. Now, if it don't bother you, that's okay. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that the direction that God has given us here is not to do anything up here that's going to distract people from worshiping the Lord, because that's who the music and everything else is really about. Now, if another church wants to do that, that's fine. That's between them and the Lord, and that's wonderful if it works for them. But just throwing that out there. But we want to always make sure that it's about the Lord. We're not trying to be flashy, not trying to be showy. We want to just keep it simple, right? Because how many of you know worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, living for the Lord is not complicated. We just do it the way he said to do it, right? So again, Jesus is dealing with motives here, and it's to call attention to God. The things we do is to call attention to God and his kingdom, not attention to ourselves. But some people are absolutely self-seeking and always looking for attention, no matter what kind of attention they get. You know, I've seen this growing up. There are certain kids that if they're not getting the right kind of attention from their parents, they're going to get the wrong kind of attention from other places, because everybody wants attention, right? And so Jesus is dealing with the hidden thoughts of the heart that every one of us have to deal with, because we were born with that sinful nature. And again, he's more concerned with the motivation behind the deed than he is the deed itself. Again, something I've said for years is, when it comes to ministers, and I've told this to many ministers and pastors, God is more concerned about the minister than he is the ministry. He's more concerned about you having your heart right than he is about you being a good preacher or a good singer or whatever else it is. So It's not about what the hand is doing. It's about what the heart is thinking while the hand is doing. So throughout the Gospels, you can see that the Pharisees love to get public recognition. Matthew chapter 23, verse 6 and 7, it says they love the best places at feast and best seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And notice it's the double rabbi. That's the, you know, extra special rabbi. So after they tried to kill him for blasphemy, Jesus asked this. He said, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek to honor that which comes from the only God? So the Pharisees and the religious sects had become very politically involved, and nothing wrong with being politically involved, but in their religion itself became political. It was all about who was going to have power, who was going to have influence. It was all about who was going to look best in the eyes of the people, so on and so forth. And so later, John commented that the reason they didn't believe is because they feared losing the prestige and the honor that came with their positions in the synagogue. In fact, I'll tell you, we've said this many times in our men's Bible study as we study through the Gospels, the Pharisees didn't want to lose their power position, and they were so willing to keep that position in power that they were willing to literally crucify the Son of God to keep it. They saw him do miracles right before their eyes. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. You would think they would say, oh, wow, he really is God in the flesh. But no, instead, the Bible says they started looking for an opportunity not only to kill him, but to kill Lazarus again, too. Talk about hard-hearted. That's what religion will get you. That's what happens when you become the kind of hypocrite we're talking about today. So John 12:43 says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And while it's easy to criticize the Pharisees, because how many of you think, well, them Pharisees, I mean, they must have been real jerks. Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand if you be. Well, they must have been real jerks. That's how I feel. But it's easy to look at the Pharisees and criticize them, but the reality is that they're no different than most people. Most people, including us, want to be noticed. We want to be valued. We want to be made to feel like we're important. How do I know that that's true? Because when somebody devalues me, when somebody defames me, when somebody, you know, talks bad about me, when somebody makes me feel like I have no value and that I have no importance in this life, I don't feel good about it. Why? Because we want all of those things. Now, the good thing is that we get all of those things, but we get those things from Father God. Amen. He proved that to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love for us in this. I like to say, you know the value of a thing based on what somebody's willing to pay for it. Our value is based on the fact that Jesus, who never sinned, never did anything wrong, never even really had a bad thought that he ever dwelt on, Jesus shed all of his blood. He was willing to give it all up for you and me. That tells us how valuable we are to God, right? That's what sets our value. But what Jesus is speaking against is letting that desire for those things take the place of our devotion to God. The Pharisees were turning their religious devotion toward God into nothing but a public performance for the praise of men. I dare say that probably not in this church, but in some church somewhere, there's some Christians sitting there Sunday after Sunday who are living that kind of way, probably in, I don't know, Alaska or something. And in our text, this is seen in two ways, that they were turning their religious devotion toward God into a public performance for the praise of men. And number one is this: Jesus straight out called them hypocrites. Now, I say this often from, again, in the men's Bible study, I say this often. This is sweet little fluffy Jesus. You see the pictures of sweet little Jesus. He's sweet little baby Jesus who would never, ever say anything to hurt anybody's feelings. Jesus said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. That same Jesus, right? And so the Greek term hypocrite was used to describe an actor. And so in the Greek, the Greeks used to have plays. They, you know, just like we have plays today, but they did plays. There was a lot of theatrical things that they would do. And in Greek plays, the actor would wear a variety of masks to portray different emotions. That's what these masks are about. You know, sometimes you'll see people wearing those masks. In fact, Mardi Gras, you see people wearing various masks, so on and so forth. And so the hypocrite really is one that describes an actor. It means one who wears a mask. And so, in essence, they were hiding who they really were behind a mask, pretending to be someone that they were not. And actors typically don't wear masks anymore. We don't see that too much anymore. But what we do see is in movies and plays and stuff, they basically do the same thing. They become someone other than who they really are in real life. And the better they are at it, the more popular and the more work they can get, right? They'll win all kinds of awards because they know how to act like someone they're not. And so that might work in the movies, but it's not good for real life. So by calling them hypocrites, Jesus was saying that by their actions, they were assuming false identities. That's what he was saying. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is it possible that there's any one of us in this room, and you don't have to raise your hand, but is there any one of us in this room that we would have to acknowledge that sometimes I act differently than who I really believe I am? Is it possible that when I'm around certain people, I put on one face, and when I'm around someone else, I put on another face, and when I come to church, I put on another face? Y'all know what I'm talking about, husbands and wives. You know exactly what I'm talking about. On the way to church, somebody said something that sparked something, and y'all got a bad attitude all the way to church till you walk in the door. Somebody says, "How you doing?" "Oh, we're blessed. We're doing wonderful. It's great. Everything's wonderful." Y'all know what I'm talking about? So being a person who acts different than who we really are, Jesus calls them hypocrites. So by calling them hypocrites, again, he was saying their actions were saying and causing them to assume false identities. They were making themselves to be seen as something they were not. And this was long before Facebook selfies. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Number two, Jesus said they wanted to be seen. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be seen by all those around them. The Greek word, this is interesting, the Greek word is theadonai, and it means to be seen, but it is where we actually get the word theater. So the Pharisees were like actors giving performance on a stage, but their hearts were rotten. In fact, that's why Jesus called them whitewashed graves. He said, "You look good on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones on the inside." So they played these roles so well that they even began to deceive themselves. Anybody ever known somebody that they lied so much that they actually began to believe their own lies? Don't look at them. So they were operating in complete deception. How do we know that? Because Jesus Christ shows up on the scene. He is God in the flesh. He's walking with the full power of the creator of the universe on this earth right in front of these people, and they could not recognize him. They were in such deception, but their deception was chosen because they wanted to live as hypocrites. They wanted the praise of men. So once we begin with a lie, it kind of perpetuates itself until we can perceive that lie as truth. And they became so deceived, again, they actually believed that they were acting in God's best interest. You know, even the Apostle Paul, if you remember his story, who was a Pharisee, who was trained by these people, who this was the life he knew. The Apostle Paul really thought he was doing something good for God and God's kingdom by going around and killing Christians and throwing them into prison. He really thought he was doing something good until he was confronted by Jesus himself, who said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And so, again, the reality was that they were not doing any good works that glorified God. They were doing good works, but those good works were to receive praise from men. not to give praise to God. And so here's the thing Jesus is trying to let us know. We can do all kinds of good works. I know a lot of people who do a lot of good works, but they're not going to do those good works without getting some kind of credit from men. And if it's not to glorify God, then we get nothing for it. In fact, Jesus let them know, hey, you got what you got. So these Pharisees, and we'll just keep picking on the Pharisees because we don't want any of this pointed toward us, but these Pharisees were pretenders. They were hiding behind masks of religious devotion so that no one would see them for who they truly were. But it goes beyond just acting because of what they were doing. They were taking godly actions like giving and prayer and fasting and turning them into a theatrical performance. It's as if these people had lost their meaning and power for the sole purpose of making these guys look good. And so again, it's easy to talk about the Pharisees, but hypocrisy didn't die with those Pharisees. Can I get a bigger amen? Unfortunately, Christian hypocrisy, that's really I forget the name of the word where you say two words together and it opposes each other. There is really no such thing as Christian hypocrisy because it's either Christian or it's hypocritical, right? Oxymoron. So Christian hypocrisy is really an oxymoron, but it's one of the biggest excuses that people use to not attend church or to not accept Jesus Christ. I hear it all the time. You've heard it. You know, lots of hypocrites, right? Too many hypocrites in the church, all that kind of stuff. But the reason there are hypocrites in the church is because, unfortunately, there is still lots of selfish ambition in many people who go to church and many people even who claim Christ to be their Lord. So what's more amazing, however, is that these same people who opt out of church because of all the hypocrites in church don't opt out of going to Walmart because there's lots of hypocrites in Walmart. They don't opt out of going to the football game because of all the hypocrites in the, you know, at the football game. You know, business is full of hypocrisy, but seeing a chance to make money doesn't stop them from getting involved in business. And so society is crowded with hypocrites, but these people aren't selling their homes and moving to the mountains to become hermits because they want to be away from all the hypocrites. Hypocrites are everywhere, right? And so almost everything we're involved in has hypocrites. And so with this in mind, if they hate hypocrisy, then really church is the place they should be, because why stay away from the one person, Jesus Christ, who can actually forgive us of our hypocrisy and our sin and give us power over those things and give us eternal life where we can spend an eternity free with hypocrisy. Now, let me tell you, I'd rather be in church with people who are still dealing with a certain amount of hypocrisy, which is all of us, than to stay away from here and never get the word and never have an opportunity to get that mess cleaned up in my life. So our problem isn't that we are not ever hypocrites. Our problem is we don't like to be around people who are bigger hypocrites than us. And actually, some of us do, because then we have somebody to point a finger at, right? At least I'm not like them, right? So Jesus then says that all who act in this way have their reward, but that reward is not from God. So the word Jesus used here for reward is a technical or a commercial term for a sales transaction. So by their public performance, talking about these Pharisees, in these religious actions that they were doing, again, for public performance, not because of the heart that they wanted to glorify God, they have received the full payment of their actions and gave back to the people a receipt of payment. So here's the thing, again, because of this, Jesus is always exposing our nature. It's what he does. It's what he did as he was teaching his disciples. And when you look at how Jesus taught and dealt with his disciples, again, it wasn't little fluffy baby Jesus never wanting to offend anybody. Listen, he really did call Peter Satan one day. It reminds me, when I start acting like my dad, my wife will say, okay, J.R. Daigle, right? If I start acting like somebody else she knows, whoever that may be, she'll call out that name, right? Now, anytime she's talking about my dad, it's always positive things. You're acting just like J.R. Daigle. You're so wonderful. Yeah, that's. No, usually that's when I'm being stubborn. That's when we get compared, Pop. It's when I'm being stubborn. So here's the thing. These guys were pretty much buying their own reward. And let me give you some examples. For example, in giving alms, they weren't really meeting the needs of the people as much as they were buying their praise. Remember, they became nothing but religious politicians who are, in a sense, buying the votes of the people, right? There's a lot of that going on today, a whole bunch of that happening in the political realm. But, and by the way, that's just a side note. That's why we don't vote in this church. We're not getting into that. We're never. I don't say it in the scripture. It's never in the scripture. Jesus never established that. We don't vote in this church. We hear from God what he wants to do, and if you want to be involved with it, you get involved with it. Amen? But every church I've ever been in where people are voting, you got church fights like crazy. You got people all upset and mean because they didn't get their way. And so we don't do that. I don't see it in the Bible. We're not going to do that here. But here's the thing. They were buying votes. For example, again, when they were giving alms, it wasn't because they really wanted to help people. It's because they wanted the people to talk about how wonderful they are. And so to receive God's reward, our works should be done without fanfare. That's really all Jesus is saying here. In other words, we shouldn't be tooting our own horns. Tell your neighbor, you shouldn't be tooting your own horn. In fact, the scripture says, the scripture tells us in Proverbs that we should never brag about ourselves. Leave that for other people to do, right? We should never try to push our way and push our own selfish agenda. And so if God has us feeding the homeless, for instance, which is a good thing to do, nothing wrong with that, or maybe fasting about something, maybe he's called you to fast and about something, then we're not supposed to go around publicizing it for personal recognition so that we can feel superior because we're doing something better than somebody else. We should do those things, but we don't do those things to get the recognition of men. We do it to glorify God. Then we're not supposed to let our motives, that selfish motive that always wants to overtake us, we're not supposed to let that thing ever have the power in our life. Amen. And again, it's a process. I'm still in that process. Can you believe? I know it's hard to believe, but I can actually be selfish sometimes. I know that's hard to believe. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you. I can be selfish sometimes. So again, when we do our good deeds, let's make sure that they're done with the right attitude, with the right heart, and with the right motives. Make sure that everything we do glorifies God, and then God will reward. And we need to be careful that we're not doing it for the reward, but we're doing it for God. And then God gives the reward. And there will be rewards in heaven. But we also get the reward of seeing a person's need get met and know that we did it with the right motive, or knowing that God has heard our prayer, or even knowing that we're not controlled by our appetites, but rather we're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, don't be an attention-seeking hypocrite. But why don't you turn to your neighbor and say it like you really mean it. Say, don't be an attention-seeking hypocrite. Okay, so now that you've judged them like that, why don't you point the finger right here and say, don't be an attention-seeking hypocrite. So next week, let me just tell you, Jesus talked about the three examples of godly actions that we should do. We should do those actions, but shows the difference between doing it as an attention-seeking hypocrite or as a true Christian. And we're going to talk about, we'll delve into those three things that Jesus dealt with specifically. So now, how many of you know, other than the power of choice that we have, there's not a single thing we can do to stop being a self-seeking hypocrite other than making the choice to yield to the Holy Spirit, who absolutely is never a hypocrite. You'll find that in all these teachings, everything that Jesus taught, the only way to do it all comes down to the same thing. Yield my life to the Holy Spirit. Yield my choices to the Holy Spirit. Now let's just do that right now. Why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord this morning, only if you mean this, but Father, I thank you for these people, God. I know that you're calling and raising up a people, Father, from the oldest to the youngest in this room. Lord, not to be people who just follow the selfish, sinful nature. Not to be people who are just trying to promote self to get the praise of men. But Father, we thank you, God, that the only praise that really matters is yours. Lord, I thank you that your word declares that if we'll humble ourselves before you, Lord, you will raise us up. Father, protect us from falling into that trap of being a self-seeking hypocrite. Lord, we want people to see the real deal when they see us. Lord, we want people to be drawn to you, God. Lord, we want people to see you living big in us. Lord, I thank you, God, for helping us, for changing our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit. We make the decision today to yield again to your Spirit. Now, Lord, I thank you that your anointing is upon every single person in this room. God, you have called them, no matter what their age, you have called them, Lord, to bring glory to your name. You've called them to be light in the darkness. God, you've called them, Father, out of the darkness into your marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of him. Talking about you, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you for filling us afresh with your Holy Spirit. We yield our will to you. We say, as Jesus did in the garden, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Have your way in my life. I don't want to be a self-seeking hypocrite, Lord. I want to be a man or a woman that glorifies you in all I say and do. Help me to say only what I hear you say. Help me to do only what I see you do. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.